I'm told that there are far more accidents on mountains on the way down than there are on the way up. Tiredness sets in, and you still got to get back to the place where you started, where you left. In a figurative sense, as well as in an actual reality, this is particularly true of the biblical story. Anytime one has a significant meeting with God, there seems to be always a mountain to climb. Look at Moses. Up he went, and there was an earthquake and fire and cloud and smoke, and no one else dared go up with him. He was alone and gone for a long time. It was like being out of sight and out of mind, and then when he got back, the people had forgotten about him, and they'd gone back to their old ways. Elijah's experience was a little different. He went looking for God because he had done what God had told him to do. He'd literally won a great battle. But the people were angry because he had taken all the fun out of life, and they wanted to kill that old spoil sport. So he hid in a cave on a mountain, and after the earthquake, the storm, and the fire, he finally hears God's voice. Not a loud voice, but a voice as quiet as a heartbeat, so soft it could be missed. Both of these characters, after getting God's message, were sent back to work. They both faced conflict. They both want to get away, and both cover their faces because they are supremely aware of the awesomeness of God. The story is repeated time and time again, even in Jesus' own life. Look at the conflicts that he faced. Look at the disappointments. And look how easily people fell back into their old ways. Our second reading from 2 Peter finds Jesus and three of his disciples on another mountain, the mountain of transfiguration, the mountain of decision, where Jesus turns his face to Jerusalem and the drama that will happen there. There's a bright cloud and all the drama that one would expect in any encounter with God. And when God speaks, the disciples, just like Moses and Elijah, fall flat on their faces. And that voice, they are the same words Matthew records at the baptism of Jesus. The same, but with one addition. This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. And the addition, listen to him. Can you imagine how that felt? Even for Jesus, to know that you are loved, valued, appreciated. I listened to a TED talk the other day. The speaker attributed to the amazingly high incidence of suicide among children of single parent families to the fact that they didn't feel valued, didn't feel loved. It's quite shocking, really. How many times might they and we turn back because we felt undervalued? Thinking of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, would he have gone to his crucifixion if he didn't feel loved by his Father? The Apostle Peter probably didn't write the letter we read this evening. It was probably written by one of his followers sometime after Peter's death. But times hadn't changed much. The new Christians were struggling to believe God is with them in their scattered, difficult places. They had all kinds of alternate things to do, people to listen to, all kinds of different religions to try. He wants to give them confidence in the face of these difficulties. But when they came down from the mountaintop, those disciples faced things they didn't understand, problems they couldn't sort out, conflicts they wanted to run from, and the crucifixion of their friend and savior and leader. Jesus knew what it was like to come down to earth. Jesus also knew that it was harder for those who had not been there, who had not seen, who were not eyewitnesses. And so the writer quotes Peter, who had been there. "This is true," he said. "He is God's son. Listen to him. Look at the signs, Moses, Elijah, those encounters with God, those promises. Jesus is better than Moses. Jesus is better than Elijah. He is God's son. Listen to him." So where is your heart journey? If you wonder if Jesus is really up to the job, remember those words, "This is my son, listen to him." Perhaps you need to hear, or Jesus needed to hear, "I love you, and I'm pleased with you." Words that are like a light in a dark place. And maybe, though it might be difficult, your being on the edge may bring you to a place that Moses, Elijah, the disciples, and I have found myself. A place when faced with clouds and the earthquake and the fire, you have heard that voice and fallen on your face and know that God is with you, that God loves you, that God will be with you even when you come down from the mountain to face all that is there at the bottom of it.